Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well today. Well, here we are. We are in church and we are in for an incredible time. I just want to say, I am missing you. Wherever you are today, whatever couch you're sitting on, whatever bench you're on, I am missing you. Georgie and I got to tell you, there's not a day that goes by that we're not talking about our desire to gather again and have real, regular fellowship. Brothers and sisters coming together to encourage each other in the goodness of God. I got to tell you, we cannot wait. So get ready, Enjoyers. The day is getting closer, and we can't wait to be with you. Today, we're going to step into the second of our My Church series. Now, you need to remember, this is for mature audiences only. I said it last week, it's for the mature. So if you're not mature or you don't want to become mature, maybe we need to just turn off now, but don't turn off. No, just lean in, and allow God to begin to speak to you, because I believe that we're going to come out stronger out of this lockdown than we actually went in. You might be like, Shane, are you for real? You think we're going to come out stronger? Yeah, I know there's going to be many aspects of our life that are a little bit, going to get a little bit hammered and a little bit battered on the way through. But I'm believing our spiritual life, your spiritual life, our spiritual lives together, we as a church, we're going to come out stronger in Jesus' name. Let's turn to the scripture today. We're going to dive straight in and we're going to be getting ready now for what God has got for us for the rest of this year as we step into 2021 also. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That's the word of the Lord there, right there for all of us, that we need to grow up in our salvation and in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11 says, there is so much, just so much more we would like to say about this, but you don't seem to listen, so it's hard to make you understand. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things a beginner must learn about the scriptures. You are like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. And a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about doing what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong and then do what is right. I'm so glad to say that as I bring the word of God today, I am not speaking to the Hebrew church. Praise God for that. But I am speaking to the Enjoy church. The Hebrew church was an immature church. They weren't able to discern between right and wrong. We are not that church. We are a mature church that is maturing all the time. And we have learned through walking a life of faith in Jesus Christ, we have learned to recognize, to discern, to be able to realize what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And as a result, we've not only been able to learn to discern the difference between these things, but we've actually made a decision now to live a life of doing good. Enjoyers, I applaud you today because you have committed your life to doing good. You have learned to discern between good and evil, and you're making a commitment to that which pleases the Lord. So today, I believe that on the whole, I'll be speaking into that which you already know. That's right. You already know what I'm going to be saying to be true. I have no doubt about that. Into that which has already been established in your hearts through the word of truth, which we, of course, know to be called the word of God. Let me ask you a question today. As you sit there on your couch, as you sit there at your kitchen bench, as you sit there, wherever it is that you find yourself, in your lounge room, in your family room, out in the gazebo, wherever it is that you find yourself today, let me ask you a question. When I say the word church, what do you think of? What comes to mind? When I say the word church, use the word church, term church, what comes to your mind when I use that word? Now, I can make all sorts of assumptions as to what you may or may not be thinking at the term church, or what could be a better idea is that we just go straight to Scripture and see what Jesus thinks about, see how Jesus thinks at the term church, at the word church. Because how many of you know it is way more than a word and it's way more than a term? When we begin to speak about the church, it actually stirs something in the heart of God. And I'm believing as a result of this series, it's going to stir something in your heart also. In Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 25, It says here, and you husbands must love your wives. And every wife said, amen. With the same love Christ showed the church. Everyone say, same love, same love. That's right, same love. You husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her. Think about this now. He gave up his life for her. This is Jesus we're speaking about. When we ask the question, what do you think about at the word church? When we ask the question, what does Jesus think about at the word church? You've got to remember that he has already given up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Praise God for that. I love this so much. I love this thought so much. I love this passage because the reality is there is nothing in times past or times to come. There is nothing that Jesus has ever given his life for other than the church. Apart from the church, he gave his life for the church. You might be like, but didn't he give his life for us? That's right, us. We are the church. You are the church. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, you're born again by the Spirit of God, made alive by the Spirit of God, then you're part of the church. And Jesus has given his life for you and for me. He brings us together and we are now the church. The church is the assembly of the saints, praise God. The church is the assembly of the upright. You are now upright because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. The church is the body of Christ, the bride and the Lamb's wife, the general assembly, the family in heaven, God's building and husbandry, the habitation of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, his flock, the holy city, the house of God, the household of faith, praise God. All this is the church. The church is the new Jerusalem, the pillar and the ground of truth, the spiritual house and the temple of God, and on and on and on we could go. These are all names of what Jesus has named the church. God has named the church. When the word church comes to mind, all right, so much more comes to mind in the heart of God. And it should be like this with us also. We need to understand that when we talk about the church, we are not just talking about a building. We're not just talking about stained glass windows. We're not talking about, no, we're talking about so much more. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he had all this in mind and a whole lot more. This is one and the same church that in the fullness of time, Jesus is going to return to. For remember, he said, I will build my church, and this is the church that he is going to return for. It's a glorious church. It's a beautiful church. It's a church without spot and without wrinkle. It's been washed through baptism and the reading of the word. This is the church that the word refers to in the Bible as the gate of heaven. All right. This all connected here, the gate of heaven. And you can see now why the church is so precious. Yes, the heart of God is for the church. But the church, when the church is really being the church, the mature church is a church that's on mission. We are now the gate of heaven. All right, we're going to work now because we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we're going to work. In Genesis 28:17, Jacob says here, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Friends, it's so important we understand this, that when we talk about the church, we're not just talking about a building. We're not just talking about a place where people gather, but we're talking about everything that I have named today, all those different names. You get an aspect, you get a facet. It's like this beautiful diamond, and you hear all the different names of the church, and she comes alive because we are together, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We are the gate of heaven from where heaven comes to earth and then begins to reach so, so many people. This is a holy place. You might be sitting there on your couch today and it's like, I'd love to be in church. You are in church. You might be like, say what? You are in church. If you are in Christ, then you are in church. You can be church You can be in church on your couch. You can be in church at your kitchen bar. You can be in church on your lounge suite. You can be in church wherever you are. If you are living a life of faith, you are in church and you are pleasing to God. This is a holy place under heaven, the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ today, we are joined together, not through the internet. No. We are joined together by our faith in Christ. This is what unites us in God. It is supernatural. It's spiritual. It is hard to explain. I understand it. But if you are born again, you know that you are made alive by the Spirit of God. And when you come into fellowship with other believers, there's something within you that delights. There's something within you that rejoices. There's something within you that identifies with something that is in them. What is that? That is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God by which we have all come alive in Christ. It's the Spirit of God that unites us and joins us in one faith, in one baptism, in one word and one salvation. And it's all of this that makes us together the church. You know, the church is the apple of God's eye. Don't mess with the church, because you'll be messing with God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Jesus loves his church. What a joy and what a privilege it is to be able to say today that we are part of the church. So let me ask you this question again. When I use the word church, what do you think of? Just the word church. I'm going to tell you, I love my life. I love my life. I love my family. But I want to go to the words of the Apostle Paul, because many of you would be out there and you love your lives and you love your families and you love what you've got going on. But I want to remind you today of what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, if he loved me and he gave himself for me, now that I'm alive in him, I want to love him and give my life for him. You know, Joshua put it this way in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It says here, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's just say that again, because this verse, I got to tell you, it just puts jelly beans in me, if you know what I'm saying. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love it because Joshua has made a decision. Come hell or high water, we're going to serve the Lord. In good times and bad times, we are going to serve the Lord. In times of virus and no virus, we are going to serve the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is the Lord and he's worthy of praise and he's worthy of our life all of the time. When I was born again, I was made alive in Christ, and instantaneously, God planted me in his house. And it's in this place that I am meant to live and thrive and flourish and bear fruit in season and out of season. When he planted me in his house, I became part of the church. When I became part of the body of Christ, I became part of the church. When I became part of the bride of Christ, I became part of the church. And it's in this space and in this place that I'm to flourish and I am to bear fruit. It's in this space and it's in this place that you are meant to flourish and that you are meant to bear fruit. Now, all that said, all right, we're going to get there now. Where are the mature? Give me a wave if you're mature. Give me a wave if you're maturing. All right, so I get it. We're all on this journey together. It is a process. It's a process. We're growing up in Christ. We're going from spiritual milk to the meat of the word, because we want to grow up in Christ and bring glory to his name. All this said, we are now slowly starting to come out of COVID restrictions all over Victoria. We're starting to come out slowly, slowly, slowly. We're starting now to head towards a COVID normal. Whatever that normal is going to look like, well, we'll see when we get there. But in the meantime, we do understand that now we're starting to step out. We're starting to come out. It's a little bit like the bear that's coming out of hibernation. As in, are there any old bears out there? There's a bear out there. No, there's a chair, but you know what I'm saying. At the end of the day, friends, I want to encourage you, we're meant to come out of hibernation here. We've got to come out of hibernation. Many of us have been on the couch for a little while, if you know what I'm saying. Many of us have been slumbering, folding the hands, twiddling the thumbs, but it's time to now start to stir ourselves up and get ourselves ready to come out of restrictions, out of the cave, out of hibernation, and into the fullness of the life that God has got for us. I promise you, friends, if we will lay hold of God in this season, if we will mature, if we will grow up and lay hold of all that God has got for us, we are going to see fruitfulness. We're going to see a season like we have never seen before. In fact, I speak it into all of your lives right now. As you begin to stir yourself up, as you begin to shake off your slumber, as you begin to step out of the cave, I believe in Jesus' name that God is going to go before you. The Spirit of the Lord is going to go before you and bless whatever you put your hand to. So get ready to come out full of faith, full of vigor, full of desire to serve God and do what is pleasing in His sight. Now, understanding just how much Jesus loves His church, understanding just how much He's given for us, my question to you is simply this. Are we going to be known in the fullness of time as those who are called good and faithful servants? Because in the good times and in the bad times, we were committed to picking up our cross and following after Him, laying down our life and doing that which is pleasing in His sight, or will we become spiritual COVID fatalities? That's right, spiritual COVID fatalities. You might be like, what is a spiritual COVID fatality? A spiritual COVID fatality is simply someone who was walking a walk of faith before COVID came, but after it, they were nowhere to be seen. The realities of COVID, the lockdown, the shutdown, the sitting on the couch, the stepping back from church life, ministry life, fellowship life was too much for them to handle. And as a result, they never bounced back. They never found themselves again in the fullness of what God had for them. I was speaking to a friend just 2 weeks ago, a friend in America. And as we were talking and sharing about the realities of COVID and what it's done in America, what it's done in Australia, he said to me, and it shocked me when he said it to me, he said, Shane, at the moment, all the statistics are pointing to the fact that post-COVID, there's going to be at least 20% of churches that were there before COVID that are no longer there after COVID, meaning that they're never going to reopen. 20% of the churches in the US at this point in time, they are saying are never going to open again. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. I hear that and I'm like, are you for real? Because I know the fellowship that we have. I know the joy that we have in coming together. I know that I know the wonder of doing mission together, living this life of faith together. And to think that in America, roughly 20% of the churches may never reopen, spiritual COVID fatalities. People who have been knocked down, never to get up again and never to live the life that Christ had planned or purposed for them. Enjoyers, I don't know about you, but this breaks my heart. It really does. It should break yours too. When I think about who we are as a church, when I think about Enjoy Church, when I think about your faces, when I think about your families, when I think about us journeying in life together, and then to think about the US and about all the churches that are potentially never going to reopen, and I know the numbers may not be the same in Australia, but I'm aware of many churches that are never going to bounce back. They're never going to reopen. And it really does, it really distraughts me, to be honest, when the church in any community closes its doors, any community, the gates of heaven in that place are closed. We are the church. You are the church. When the church in any community closes its doors, the gates of heaven in that place are locked up. So the love, the grace, the mercy, the joy, the forgiveness, the healing, the peace, the hope that Jesus wants to pour out through His body, His bride, the church, turn from a raging torrent into a trickling stream. Friends, the kingdom of God is meant to advance powerfully. The kingdom of God is meant to advance strongly. No. Like a torrent, like a raging flood. Friends, when the church is locked up, when the church ceases to exist in parts of the world, in the cities, in towns, in parts of the community, I tell you the truth, it's at that point that the kingdom of God, it just slows. It's not meant to be like this. It's not the heart of God for the church. Now, some of you will be like, but Shane, what are you talking about? We haven't missed a beat. Enjoy Church hasn't missed a beat. We've enjoyed Sunday services like we are today. We've enjoyed great fellowship throughout the week through our friendship groups. We've enjoyed great relational connection through our ministry department. And I say praise God for all that. If you're an enjoyer and you're planted in the house and you've been blessed spiritually through this season, praise God for that. But I want to ask you a question. What about the lonely? What about the orphan? What about the widow? What about those who have been smashed by the ongoing realities of COVID, the associated heartbreak, the associated heartache, the despair, the loss, the oppression, the depression, and the brokenness? What about those in our community? What about your neighbors? What about your work colleagues? What about those who do not yet know Christ? Where will they go to if they can't go to the church? This is the church. When I refer to the church, I'm speaking of the church that Jesus had in his heart, in his mind, in his thinking, when he said, I will build my church. Now, we've already read some of the wonderful names that are other associated names of the church, but this is the church that Jesus had in his heart when he said, I will build my church. Where will these people go to find hope? Where will your neighbors go? Where will your work colleagues go to find hope if they can't go to the church? And you might be like, well, maybe they'll find some church online. Maybe they'll find Enjoy online. Friends, online is great to fulfill a purpose in a season. But I tell you, I promise you, there is nothing like when the church comes together. There is nothing like seeing someone eyeball to eyeball across the foyer. There is nothing like walking into an auditorium and being able to chicken wing someone or high five them or do whatever the case may be. Friends, I want to encourage you, we need fellowship. We need to come together. We need to be the church, the church, the church, the church. Friends, when I think about churches closing, I've got to be honest with you, it breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart. And you know what? I actually believe it breaks Jesus' heart also, because he laid down his life. He gave his life. He gave his life for you and he gave his life for me. And he gave his life for your neighbor and he gave his life for my neighbor, for your work colleague and for mine as well, for your family member and for mine as well. He's laid down his life to build the church, his church. We are his church. So I ask you again, when you think about the term church, what do you think of? Will you be named amongst the good and faithful servants that rose up to serve the Lord, who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in good times and in bad times, in COVID and post-COVID, throughout the seasons that come our way? Will you be amongst those that are known and named as the good and faithful servants? Or will you be a COVID fatality? A spiritual COVID fatality, someone who was there at the beginning but waned throughout the season and never really made a comeback, never really stepped back into the call, never really stepped back into the ministry, never stepped back into your lane and ran your race because, well, it just got too hard. Friends, I want to call you out today. Can I call you out today? I want to call out every enjoyer to be mature. This is the day. You know, this is the My Church Mature Audiences Only series. So it's for the mature. I understand that. I get that. But I believe enjoyers from one end of the nation to the other end of the nation, from one end of the globe to the other end of the globe, are mature enough to rise up in faith in the knowledge that they are called to be good and faithful servants. They are called to fulfill a part in the story and in the history of the church. When we speak about the church, we're not talking about an organization. We're not talking about a building. We are talking about the saints of God who know and understand that we are united through our faith in Christ to do something glorious for God upon the earth. Friends, I'm calling you out today. In fact, this is what I want to do. If you're an enjoyer and you're saying, Shane, I want to play my part here. I want to be known as a good and faithful servant. I want to run my race. I don't want to be a COVID fatality. I don't want to be a spiritual COVID fatality. I don't want to get washed away like these churches in the US and in other parts of the world. I want to know that I'm doing all that I can to play my part, that Jesus' name might be lifted up and we together might be the church and continue to be co-laborers as he builds his church, that when he returns, we might be made ready for him. If you're there today, wherever you are, on your couch, at the kitchen bar, in the lounge room, wherever you are today, if you're saying, Shane, that's me, I want to play my part. I want you to do this right now. You might be like, you want me to do what? This is what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. Just stand up. Just stand up right now. Stand up. That's right. Stand up. Stand up. If that's you, stand up just right now. Please just stand up. If you're saying, Lord, I don't want to be a spiritual COVID fatality, but I want to be a good and faithful servant. I know that I was born and born again for such a time as this. I know that I was born and made alive by the Spirit of God and joined to my brothers and sisters in Christ for such a time as this. I know that the church is this place on earth that you have ordained to be the gate of heaven where people might come into relationship with you through and in the body of Christ. They might come in, they might be made whole, they might be made alive, they might be forgiven, they might be healed, they might receive forgiveness, joy, love, peace, and on it goes. If stand up right now if you're like, I want to be part of this church. I want to be part of this church. Wherever you are, brothers and sisters, just stand to your feet right now. And you might be like, but I'm standing by myself. No, you're not standing by yourself, because I promise you right now there are thousands of people, particularly across Victoria, because that's at the moment, this is where we're all in lockdown together. So all across Victoria, there are thousands of people standing in their lounge rooms, probably in their pajamas, half of them, but that's okay. We'll go with pajamas. We could become a pajama church. Who knows? It's like, we'll go with anything. But at the end of the day, what we want to go with is Jesus. He said, I will build my church. Friends, I want you to lean into the presence of God right now. Just put out your hands before you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Father, we stand here together. Lord, we stand in lounge rooms, we stand probably in kitchens, we stand in family rooms, we stand in gazebos, we stand, Lord God, wherever we find ourselves today, but we stand in your presence. We acknowledge, Lord God, that you are our God and there is none like you. We acknowledge that you are the Lord and there is none like you. And Lord, we make a commitment today. Lord, we say that we will not be spiritual COVID fatalities. Not as individuals, not as couples, not as families, not as a church. We will not be a spiritual COVID fatality. We make a decision today to come out of the cave. We make a decision to stand up in faith and unite our faith, Lord, with you, and unite our faith with each other. Because even though, Lord God, we might be standing by ourselves or with our family, we know, Lord, there's families all over Victoria and we're standing together. Because you have a plan and you have a purpose. Lord, you said you would build your church. You said you would build your church. And we believe that you're building us even right now. As we stand here, we believe you're building us even right now. And we lean into you, Lord God. We lean into the call of God that's upon our life. We declare, Lord God, Lord, the enemy will have nothing over us. We will not be defeated. We will not be downtrodden. We will not be a spiritual COVID fatality. But we're breaking off, Lord, the realities of sin and death, Lord. We're breaking off sickness. We're breaking off mindsets. We're breaking off attitudes. Even now, we're standing up into the call of God afresh upon our life. And we prepare our hearts and we prepare our lives. We prepare our marriages and we prepare our families. Lord, we're preparing our church to come out of COVID, Lord God, into the fullness of what you've got for us. For Lord, surely, Lord God, Lord, there are words that have been spoken over in Joy Church. Surely there are words that have been spoken over individuals. Surely there are words that have been spoken over couples and families and locations that are yet to be fulfilled. And Lord, we look to that, Lord God. We look to the word of God that has gone out, that is not going to return void, but it's going to come back, Lord God, accomplishing that which it was sent out to do. So today, Lord God, we lean into you and we thank you, Lord, that you are building us. We thank you, Lord God, that you are building your church. Lord, you have not forsaken us. You have not abandoned us, but now you're stirring us by your Spirit to rise up and to step out and to step into the fullness of what you've got for us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for a mature church that can handle a word like this. Lord, they can handle it in their sleep, Lord God, because they are mature and they're becoming mature. They're rising up. We're rising up together to be a glorious house that would bring you honor and bring you praise, Lord God. Lord, I give you praise and I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we step out together today. We're stepping out, Lord God, into all that you've got for us. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, there are men and women that are leaning in today. And just as we conclude today, I just want to say there are men and women that are watching online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you used to, but for whatever reason, you've drifted away. Can I encourage you, friend? Jesus will return or you will come to the end of your life. One of those two things will happen. I promise you, as sure as the sun is going to go home today, either Jesus will return or at some point in time, you're going to leave this earth. What is the most important thing for you to know is that you are right with God. We are made right with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. So right here, right now, if you are not right with God, or you don't know that you're right with God, friends, I want to encourage you, make a decision to give your life to Christ right here, right now. We're not going to muck around here. We're not going to play around here. You know who you are. Some of you, you've been on the fringes for so long. You've been playing in the shallows for so long. Jesus is calling you into the deep today. Give your life to Christ. Know this. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, in an instant, you can be forgiven of your sin and made right with God. If you will do this from your heart, I'm not talking about lip service. There's a whole lot of lip service goes on. At the end of the day, it'll amount to nothing. But if from the depths of your heart, you would come before God and say, Lord, I ask you today, forgive me of my sin. I promise you, my friend, he will forgive you in an instant. You'll be made right with God. The peace of God is going to come your way. Why? Because you're forgiven. He will forgive you, and as he forgives you, the peace of God is going to come your way. You're going to receive the joy of the Lord in an instant. And I promise you, he will be there. You'll make the decision, and he'll be there in the decision, and he'll be there when you go to bed tonight, and he'll be there when you get up in the morning. And he may not take you out of all your troubles, but I promise you this, he will walk you from your troubles. He'll walk you out of your wilderness. He'll walk you into the promises of God that he has promised you in his word. They are yes and amen to those of us that are in Christ, but here's the thing, you've got to be in Christ. So all over the world today, if you're watching and you're saying, Shane, today's the day I want to give my life to Jesus, on our online platform, you'll see a little raised hand on the bottom right-hand side of the screen there. It just says raised hand. Friends, I want to encourage you, if you want to give your life to Christ, maybe for the first time, maybe it's the first time you've ever done it, and maybe you're making a recommitment, just hit that little raised hand right now. Just hit that little raised hand. Someone from our New Life team, our New Christians team, probably Tammy, Pastor Tammy Newcastle is going to reach out to you if you hit that. Just hit that right now. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just hit that little raised hand. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you're watching on a Facebook platform, just write in the comment section there, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just do that now. I want to give my life to God. Just write that in the comment section, and someone from that location is going to connect with you, and we're going to start journeying with you into the fullness of the life that God has got for you. So why don't we all pray together? You want to give your life to Jesus? I see you guys out there. I know you want to. Hit that little raised hand now. Write in the comment section, I want to give my life to Jesus, and let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I thank you, Jesus, for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. So I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord, to live a life that is both pleasing and honoring of you. Today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. And I believe from this day on that you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. And from this day on, I'll never be alone again because I am your child. In Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. All right, here's a thought, my final thought as I hand back, as we're probably about to go to Kid Mania, which is awesome. Everyone loves Kid Mania. But as we go there, no more spiritual COVID fatalities. Friends, I want to encourage you. You know the best thing about Lazarus is he was dead, but he came back to life. Maybe you know some brothers and sisters that are right on the edge, maybe gone over the edge. Can I encourage you, reach out and start speaking words of life. Reach out to them and start speaking words of hope. Maybe you find yourself in a place where, if you were to be really honest, well, you got a heartbeat here, but it is so, so soft. And you're like, Shane, I'm still in the game. But just, can I encourage you, reach out to a location pastor, reach out to a friendship group leader, reach out to any leader in the life of the church, any pastor in the life of the church. Let them know where you're at. Friends, we are here for you. You are part of the church, and the church is glorious, and so are you. God bless you today. We love you. Let's stay connected. Make sure you're in friendship group. connect to an area of ministry. God bless your lights. We're going to see you real soon. Bye for now.